From the Orion Policy Institute, this is Orion Talks. Our podcast brings together experts for a conversation about events shaping the world at the local, national, and global levels. Tune in as we discuss foreign policy, security, human rights, political and economic development, and various other issues.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Orion Talks. I'm your host, Suat Çubukçu. Today, we are joined by Professor Hüseyin Şehit Sohorwordi. Professor Hüseyin is the chairman of the Department of International Relations at the University of Peshawar in Pakistan. He's an expert on Pakistani foreign policy and conflict resolution. And today with Professor Hüseyin, we will talk about the current developments in Pakistan and its ongoing tense relations with its neighboring countries, especially with the Taliban in Afghanistan and the increasing trend of violence in the region. Professor Hüseyin, welcome to Orion Talks.
Thank you so much. It is my pleasure being here, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure hosting you. Before we start unpacking these issues, would you please provide an overview and walk us through what's going on with the economy and politics in Pakistan?
Yeah, that is a very pertinent and a very important aspect of our today's discussion. Good that you have asked this question at the outset. Pakistan's economics and politics both are quite confusing and entangled with many other stakeholders, not only inside Pakistan, but also abroad. Pakistan's economy is in shambles. We normally say that economics influences politics, or politics influences economics. In Pakistan, that is really a huge confusion. Pakistan's, at the moment, export is $31 billion. Pakistan's import is $80 billion. Pakistan's expats who are living abroad, they are sending foreign exchange to the tune of $30 billion. So this means Pakistan's income is $61 billion, whereas its expenditures are $80 billion. So in terms of the process, $19 billion of deficit Pakistan at the moment is facing. Now, this $19 billion of deficit is huge and huge. We anticipate that IMF is going to grant us a bailout package of $1.1 billion. And you can understand that would be peanuts for a fledgling economy of Pakistan at the moment. So we have to go for many other donor agencies. When you submit to such donor agencies, there are many other countries who are major contributors to these agencies, and they go for arm twisting, and they then influence your foreign policy. Of course, the United States will be there as well. We are very closely situated to China. We are very closely associated to China with respect to our internal policy, our foreign policy. But at the same time, at international level, there is a kind of a new new Cold War between China and United States. So at one end, we are directly in need of financial support from IMF kind of institutions, which are and their funds, the lion's share is contributed by US. And America would not like Pakistan to stand very close to China, whereas Pakistan, regionally speaking, is left with no other option but to stand with China. So Pakistan's this deficit is alarming. So what can be done then in terms of the process? We have either to curtail our expenditures in Pakistan. We have to reduce our import, which is huge, huge. Just imagine that Pakistan is a poor country, but at the same time, at the moment when I'm speaking with you, the cats and dogs' food is imported to the tune of $1 billion, which is really a lot for a country like Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Now, at least we can produce and we can prepare cats and dogs food in our own country, but But imagine that at one end, we are so poor, but at the other end, luxurious life of the people is so much that we are importing even cats and dogs food. So either we have to reduce our import, we have to reduce our expenses, especially the governmental expenses. Now, if we do not do that, then this disparity between the import and export will be huge, and we will be left with no other option but to beg for the support of institutions like IMF. IMF has a record, and everybody knows it very well. Wherever they go, country's economy doesn't repair. I mean, normally it is said that IMF is a devil. It is like a devil's kiss. It kills those who take it. So Pakistan is again and again taking it, and Pakistan is suffering. Well, this is one thing that Pakistan's economics, but at the same time, your second part of the question is Pakistan's politics. That is also quite disturbing and confusing. Recently, elections took place, and that was the most controversial election since the inception of Pakistan. Even those parties who won elections stated that rigging took place, and those parties who lost, of course, that was their right to say that rigging took place. I mean, everyone who loses always complains. But in Pakistan, this was the first time that even the party that won election, that was even complaining of rigging in elections. So finally, the government has been formed. It is moving ahead. People are quite frustrated because of price hikes. Petroleum prices are going up. Gold prices are going up. Every daily commodity, food stuff, subsistence, everything is quite expensive here. And that is making the life of a common man very difficult. So in terms of the process, people are quite disappointed from the politics. Economics is in shambles. We are not ready to reduce our imports. We are not ready to go for a simple life. Things are quite complicated with respect to politics and economics of the country.
Yeah. Thank you, Professor Hussain. And it's interesting to see that Pakistan is still staying pet friendly despite these all economic challenges. It's great to hear. And you mentioned about these international institutions like IMF, and Pakistan stay in a kind of jeopardy between China and the IMF and the United States. But also you have a controversial neighbor at the border with Afghanistan and the Talibani government. So how the trade relations affected, especially when Taliban took the power in 2021?
Let me make my case towards your question. When Taliban came over in power for the second time in 2001, there was a kind of a misunderstanding, a fallacy in the minds of international media and international actors that this all took place by the connivance of Pakistan, by the support of Pakistan. That was not in fact the case. That if Pakistan had painted like this picture, that was really counterproductive. We made ourselves quite notorious amongst the eyes of Europeans and Americans. And if they understood that Pakistan was supportive to the Taliban, that was also a big blunder and misunderstanding. Had that been the case, there wouldn't have been border skirmishes between the Taliban government in Afghanistan and Pakistan today. Now, let me give you a contrast of this situation of 1996 when Taliban came in government in Afghanistan with the support of Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And that very time, from 1996 till 2001, they were at the beck and call of Pakistan. They were very supportive to Pakistan. Whatever Pakistan was saying, they were accepting that. Even a country like Pakistan had accepted them. There were only three countries at that very time who had recognized Taliban government. One was Pakistan, UAE, and Saudi Arabia. And Pakistan had even sent its emissary, its ambassador to Kabul at the same time. But this time, Pakistan's ambassador is not there. Pakistan's relations are very strained. Had they come in power with the support of Pakistan, they wouldn't have bit the hand that had fed them or that had supported them. So one thing is very clear that was not the case. So second thing, Pakistan tried its level's best in the beginning to muster recognition for the Taliban regime. from 2021-22. For 2 years, they ran from pillar to post to garner support of international community, but Pakistan miserably failed. And the reason was that Taliban were a government. They had formed an interim government, and it is still an interim government, whereas the 3.5 years has passed. Then Pakistan was trying to make a case. Americans were quite annoyed the way they left Afghanistan. That was really quite embarrassing, not only for themselves, but for the people of Afghanistan, for the entire region. That shouldn't have taken place. Americans must have left Afghanistan with honor, but it is unfortunate that people like me, who were supporting them for their very important and active role in Afghanistan, we were disappointed even. At the moment when I am talking to you, Pakistan and Afghanistan's political relations are very strained. Situation is quite alarming. In Afghanistan, Taliban are getting, they are becoming nationalist. They know this thing that anti-Pakistani sentiment is the currency in Afghanistan. If they want to garner support of the common man, they have to give statements against Pakistan. If they want to have support of Afghan people, they have to have firing and bombing on the borders between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and that they are doing at the moment. And because of that, the trade between the two countries has suffered a lot. Now, let me tell you this thing, that Pakistan-Afghanistan trade, in fact, has a potential of a huge volume of $6 billion. Whereas at the moment when I'm talking to you, the trade between the two countries is taking place to the tune of just $1.5 billion. So you can understand that both countries are suffering a lot. But out of these two countries, Afghanistan is suffering more. And the reason is that it is landlocked. 80% of Afghanistan's import used to take place from Pakistan. And in Pakistan, there are three very important checkposts. One is Torkham, other is Angur Adda. And the third one is Chaman, and out of these three, Torkham is the one that is having the maximum export from Pakistan into Afghanistan. They both have an agreement of Pakistan-Afghanistan trade and transit agreement, and because of this agreement, Pakistan is importing products for Afghanistan, and that is going there. But somehow, because of strained political relations, trade is even affected between the two countries. Pakistan is, of course, suffering because Afghanis have some alternates at the same time. They can have all those products from Central Asian side. Now, but if they get it from Central Asian side, of course, then Pakistan will suffer. So in terms of the process, I believe that this is the high time that they both understand each other's existence and the need of each other. Pakistan direly needs to broaden its export base, and that is possible when there will be peace on the border between the two countries. And why Pakistan is losing $4.5 billion of trade with Afghanistan, as I stated, that $6 billion of potential is there, and it is just $1.5 billion at the moment taking place. So Pakistan is starved of trade. Pakistan should think on those lines. Afghan government knew that, they know this very well, that in 2021 and 22, Pakistan was a solicitor of them. Pakistan was a supporter of them for the mustering recognition in the entire world. So they are losing a wonderful supporter. So I believe they both are the need of each other. And for that matter, they have to compromise with each other. They have to speak with each other amicably so that this may be a win-win situation. At the moment, it is a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. So as you highlighted, like, the peace is pretty much beneficial for both sides of the borders. And unfortunately, Pakistan has been hit by a wave of terrorist attacks lately, both from Islamist groups and the ethnic separatist groups. For example, in Peshawar, where I think you are located, right? So there was an attack that killed six Chinese workers 2 weeks ago. And also there was a suicide attack on a police compound where tens of troops and civilians were killed. And also on top of that, there is a brewing tension with the Taliban government, and Pakistan's military has even launched cross-border strikes in Afghanistan and led to many civilians were killed. So could you please walk us through what are the reasons behind this increasing violence inside of Pakistan and also tense relations with Taliban government recently?
That is a very important question. And in the first question's answer, in fact, I had laid the seeds for responding to any such question that you just just coined. The Amir Dam, where it's a water project and water and power project, and Chinese engineers were working there. They were targeted at the Amir in the hilly station, hilly areas of Pakistan, and all the Chinese engineers, along with a lady, they were killed, along with the Pakistani driver as well, which in fact was a really a gruesome act that took place there. Of course, those who do not like Pakistan-China friendship, especially China-Pakistan economic corridor, the price of which is $64 billion, which it's a huge, huge investment from the Chinese in Pakistan. Those who do not like it, of course, they want to sabotage with this project, and that's why they are targeting Chinese in Pakistan. Although Pakistan has increased their security, but at the same time, of course, I mean, this has got a limit. Pakistanis have very close ties with Chinese. Chinese consider Pakistan a very good friend. They are all-weather friends. It is normally stated for the friendship between China and Pakistan that the friendship is deeper than the mountains, higher than the oceans, and there is another thing that they have added. They say that sweeter than honey and stronger than steel. So I mean, like, so many adjectives are added to that. So this shows that they are very close to each other. But this kind of terrorist act, in fact, is aimed at hurting their closer ties with each other. Well, of course, then there are nationalists who are fighting against the state, and that is also damaging, causing a damaging effect. But the question is that most of these terrorists, they are stationed in Afghanistan, and because they have similar ideology, Islamist, and they want Sharia law in Pakistan. I'm talking about Tehrik-e-Taliban in Pakistan, abbreviated as a TTP, and they are stationed in Afghanistan. Afghan Taliban, they say that TTP is not operating from their land, and their land is not used against Pakistan. Pakistan has very strong witnesses, and they say that the cross-border terrorism is taking place. They come in, they make different operations against the state, and then they flee back into Afghanistan. And you know that Pakistan-Afghanistan has a long, porous border. The border's length is 2,340 kilometers. Although Pakistan has fenced it, but because of different terrain, mountainous terrain, we are unable to completely fence it. And because of those areas, some infiltrators, they get into Pakistan and they make such kind of terrorist acts. Now, Pakistan was left with no other option but to go for hot pursuit. As you said, that certain civilians were killed in Afghanistan. As per Pakistan, and you know that, I mean, when any such thing takes place, the first casualty is not a human loss, but first casualty in any war, in any conflict, it is sad, is truth. So Pakistani version is that when this hot pursuit took place, those Pakistani Taliban terrorists who were taking refuge in Afghan mountains, they were targeted and they were killed. But Afghan version is different. They say that women and children were targeted and they were killed. One doesn't understand what women and children were doing in mountains. That is the place where which is the sanctuary of the terrorists, and they were targeted by the Pakistani security forces. Now, this kind of hot pursuit, of course, will not bring something positive between the two countries. Afghanistan is quite annoyed with Pakistan's such actions, and then they responded Afghan-Pakistani border and the fighting took place. Now, the conclusion of my answer is that, as you just asked, Pakistan is in a difficulty. However, right now, entire nation is united. We have understood that we have a common enemy that is in shape of Tehrik-e-Taliban-e-Pakistan. And if Taliban, Afghan Taliban, want to have positive relations with Pakistan, if they really want to have advocacy of Pakistan for their support at international fora, they have to recognize that any element that is hurting Pakistan's interests are attacking on Pakistan from the point of view of terrorism, has to pack up from Afghanistan, or Pakistan will not be really very cordial and nice to them. And that is exposing further the sharp gulf between Pakistan and the Afghan Taliban. It is also exposing this notion that Pakistan and Taliban, Afghan Taliban, they are one and the same thing. Our Pakistan had supported Afghan Taliban in coming over in government in August 2021. This all dispels any such impression. This shows that both countries are at the daggers drawn, and Pakistan is quite concerned with any element which is hurting Pakistan's interests, and it is residing in Afghanistan.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there are some dire accusations in both sides. And I'm just thinking whether is there any potential for improved cooperation, not improved the right term, but the cooperation or collaboration between Pakistan and Afghanistan, especially with the against the TTP. Do you see any kind of opportunity to diffuse the tension and promote the stability in the region?
I think they both have to understand that this is not into the this doesn't come into the benefit of any either of them. Mm-hmm. Taliban, Afghan Taliban, they are in need of neighboring countries' support, especially Pakistan, which has a very huge, as I said, border share with Afghanistan, that is 2,340 kilometers, 2,340 kilometers of long border. So they have to have a very cordial relations with Pakistan. Pakistan at the moment is hosting more than 1.7 million Afghan refugees. And that is again an issue between the two countries. Pakistan recently returned 500,000 people. And there is going to be a wave of return of Afghan refugees again after Eid, which means in the next month, again, that is going to start. And when such kind of people, they will be returned to Afghanistan. Afghanistan is already passing through a difficult time. So 500,000 or 1 million people, when they will go back, they will be a dandruff on the weak government of Afghanistan. So they have to have very good relations with Pakistan so that Pakistan may be supportive to them rather than taking such steps which may be punitive for the Afghan Taliban government. One thing. Second thing, Pakistan also has to change its tune. Like they are very ruthless at the moment. Returning Afghan refugees the way Pakistan is returning is not a good idea. We hosted them for 40 years. Now, at the end, we are kicking their back and returning them to Afghanistan in a very insulting manner. That should not be the case. We have to respect them. You can change your friend, but you cannot change your neighborhood. Afghans are our neighbors, and this will always be kept in their minds that Pakistan had treated them like this, the way we are treating them. Second, and the third very important thing, both governments have to understand they have to sit together at a VVIP level, which means at the level of head of the government, foreign ministers must meet and find out via media. The TTP should know, it's a very, very minor element. It should not cause disturbance between the two countries. And they have to, both governments have to compromise with each other. Foreign ministers must meet. They must come up with a trajectory as per which they will treat Tehrik-e-Taliban-e-Pakistan. Now, treating Tehrik-e-Taliban-e-Pakistan means finishing them and just executing them. I'm not suggesting that either. What I'm suggesting is that either they may be asked by the Afghan Taliban to vacate the land. They may go to any other country, but not Afghanistan. Now, if they are going to Central Asian Republic somewhere, if there are certain other like-minded people of them, well, they can go there, they can stay there. And in this way, they will be far away from Pakistan's border and they would not be in a position to attack on Pakistan's territory. But at the same time, I believe that the interests on convergence of two countries' governments are much higher than the divergence just for a very minor element like Tehrik-e-Taliban in Pakistan.
Yeah, so with the large number of refugees, and you mentioned, you know, some policy solutions, so I'm wondering how the international institutions and the other countries can help in resolving this problem.
Well, that's once again a wonderful question, I must say that. Mm-hmm. I do not see that any international forum like United Nations can resolve problems between the two countries. Our extraterritorial states like the US, of course, because America has a strong stakes in every region in the world, mm-hmm. the reason is it is a power, and then it is respected at the same time. But I believe that Afghanistan-Pakistan's problem solution lies in regional approach. Pakistan and Afghanistan are very closely situated. There is Iran, Central Asian Republics. China has stakes in this region. They are very much interested in Afghanistan. They have even deputed an ambassador in Afghanistan, although they have not recognized it, but exchange of ambassadors has taken place between Afghanistan and China. So regional approach may be adopted. I believe that there must be Afghanistan's neighboring countries' foreign ministers meeting where they should sit together and they should realize that Afghanistan has become a reality. A government has come here. This has come in the name of religion. There are many countries where countries are run on religion, on religious laws. I'm not talking about the countries created in the name of religion like Israel and Pakistan. I'm talking about countries where religion matters a lot with respect to the public policy. Iran is there. Saudi Arabia is there. There are many Arab countries which are purely working on Sharia law, although they are not declared as a religious country, but they are running and we have accepted them. We have accepted Saudi Arabia. All the countries are accepting. We have accepted even Iran. So let's accept Afghanistan under Taliban. That should not be a problem. But at the same time, these regional countries, foreign ministers, when they will meet, they will say that we are ready to recognize you as a league, provided Afghanistan should not be used as a land from where difficult people will come out and hurt the interests of the neighboring countries, or some kind of a terrorist acts would take place. If that day happens, I believe that Afghanistan will be a good boy, acting like other countries. And then at the same time, they have to change a bit of their domestic. Remember that now we have forgotten about the difference between sovereignty and domestic policy. Everything is internationalized. We cannot keep women isolated in our countries and we think that nobody will object that. No, that is not possible. We cannot deprive women from education rights. That is not possible. If you do that, international community will ban us. We have to have equal rights for all the communities. We cannot marginalize a political party. We cannot marginalize a community. If in Afghanistan this thing has been taking place, of course, that has come to an end forthwith, so that neighboring countries may think of recognizing them. And that will be a lesson for the extraterritorial countries like Europe and America, the larger Middle East, to recognize them. But charity begins at home. Afghan Taliban has to start from home. Their domestic policies molded in such a manner that it musters recognition first by neighboring countries and then by other countries at large.
Professor Hussain, so these are very important points and great insights. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And I would like to thank to our listeners for listening. And thanks and have a good day and take care.
Thank you so much for having me. It was indeed pleasing talking to you.
Thank you.